Friday the 22nd of April 2016. Welcome to Alex Collier and his webinar number nine. He'll be covering topics including mainly the current state of the earth, followed by a question and answer session in the second half. So settle back, get yourself a drink, and enjoy Alex's latest webinar. Here's your host, JP. AlexCollier.org and Wolf Spirit Media Network. Here we are. Good afternoon, everybody. A nice, bushy-tailed and bright-eyed audience list here on the left there, on the right even. And we're just applying the makeup to Alex's special studio set. Of course, you know, he's on a sound stage in Hollywood, and we're just preparing it. No. as if. Maybe one day it'd be really cool. We have a proper thing, proper desks, and, you know, just like that stone fellow. Anyhow, good afternoon, everybody. And today's webinar is number nine, and we all are number nine. So, Alex.
Thank you for attending the webinar. We really appreciate it. It literally keeps me going. And I just want you to know, I just want to put a shout out to James and to JP. They put a lot of energy into this and the website, and I just want to thank them again for all the work that they do. And ladies and gentlemen, when you hear just current stat, it means that I'm going to be, and I think we've said this before in the past, it means I'm going to be talking about stuff that's of a sensitive nature. And even though the intelligence agencies all get this information anyway, it at least gets me on the air before they shut it down, you know. So, you know, one small battle, and we'll take them one at a time. Listen, we have a lot to talk about. Towards the end, just before we get to questions, I'm going to be talking about information regarding what information that's out there regarding the Nibiru being the inner Earth people. And we will get to that at the end. It's important to note it was specifically mentioned. I was able to ask questions of Morinet, and it was, and he was very specific in his answer. So I'm going to be sharing that with you, and also there will be some updates on Planet X and the Nibiru, the real Nibiru. Okay, but listen, if you remember a month ago, or a few days ago, I was sharing with you how the universe has an ecology. And we were talking about the different dimensions, and we were actually talking about black holes as well. And, you know, how when a specific area goes negative field, a black hole will eventually grab it and pull it out, and then what basically comes back is plasma, color, and sound. Well, we're going to get into that. In an article that was published on April 13th of 2016 in the Science Explorer, scientists have discovered that black holes mysteriously are all spinning in the same direction, implicating that they are somehow connected, even though they shouldn't be, even though they somehow never communicate to each other, and yet they all appear to be spinning in the same direction. This could be proof of what we were talking about last month, that there is, in fact, an ecology, a knowledge, a intelligence regarding everything that goes on inside what we call our universe, or the universal holograph. This is probably a much more appropriate title or a way to address this, because it's clearly a holograph. And What's also interesting is that they have now been able to register the amount of plasma that eventually comes out. It doesn't always come out, but does come out, and it's of about the same speed as the spin of the black holes. Now, if you remember in earlier and previous information, I presented that in black holes that information is never lost. Knowledge is never lost. What is lost is the actual physicality. It is broken down back to its basic form, which is atoms and things of that nature, okay, to be re-engaged, re-energized with intent and thought and emotion, okay, in order to create physicality. Now, that is something that we have a gift of doing, not just us on Earth, but other races as well, especially here in third density. We have the ability to create physicality. And this is basically the process where it becomes too negative and it becomes harmful. It will find a black hole, it will implode, it'll be gone, but what's returned is the knowledge. Knowledge gained, it could be the knowledge of the mistakes. I don't really know. But what's interesting is that the next thing we're going to talk about is, in fact, black matter or dark matter. And it could very well be that this knowledge, this information, reattaches itself to dark matter, what we call dark matter. So I just wanted to share that with you. Again, a group of black holes discovered mysteriously spinning in the same direction. That is the Science Explorer, April 13th, 2016. So let me, now that we're done with that, move that out of the way. It's a very interesting article. Now, this next one is interesting because, again, these are things that we have talked about in the past. Some of this goes back 20 years that I've shared with you, but nonetheless, it's completely relevant, especially to what we were just talking about regarding black holes. Now, this particular information comes out of Geneva. It comes out of CERN, believe it or not, where as far back as 2012, when they were testing the machinery for CERN and opening portals. Well, apparently, they were doing this as far back as 2012. They weren't always able to hold them open. They were able to open them, and then they would shut down. Now, I do not know if they were being shut down because of lack of power on this end or if they were being closed on the other end by benevolence. We just simply didn't want this portal opened. I don't have that answer. But nonetheless, what is fascinating is that CERN was able to download information when these portals opened. And it's taken them several years to sift through the information. But what's absolutely fascinating is that they were able to find classical music from Earth in what they say was an opening in fifth density. Now, let's talk about the implications of something like that. And I bring this up because one of the first early things that I've shared many, many years ago was how the A's themselves were fascinated with the idea that we could create music literally out of thin air. At least that's how they perceived it, literally out of thin air. That we would just pull it from someplace, and they specifically mentioned classical music. Okay? Well, what's interesting about the CERN information is that they are fairly certain that this music, classical music from Earth, is attached to dark matter. So the perception regarding dark matter is clearly going to be changing. It might be that dark matter is nothing more than a depository of knowledge and information of past, present, and future. Now, the reason I say that is because time on different dimensions is not linear like it is with us. Okay, some are ahead, some are behind, some are present. It's all over the place. It's diversity on steroids. And what's fascinating is that when I go back and I hear, and I go back to those notes where the A's are amazed at how we can pull music or write music from literally thin air. And I'm putting this out there for discussion, okay, or for at least for you to think about it. Is it possible that we here on Earth have the ability to tap into dark matter and pull the knowledge, pull the information down to us? Now, it appears that that's what's happening, if this information is accurate and it plays itself out, that we can, in fact, pull information from other realms. Now, is this a result of our genetic royalty? Because we have all of these extraordinary DNA races that make us up in totality. Or is it because a very large group or majority of us are Ptah, and that we fell from 11th density back down through time into physicality? Is it that we already have this knowledge so that finding it is easy? It's an interesting thing to think about. So let me just go here. It appears that information, spiritual energy, music specifically, attaches to dark matter and can, in fact, materialize as plasma energy. Now let's talk about that, plasma energy. Here we are, our solar system is moving across the galactic plane, which of course is a band of a light year band of plasma energy. And we all know that things are rapidly changing. And we have been told by the seers and other extraterrestrial groups, other contactees, of which the A's collaborate this information, is that as we start to move, really fully move thing and are completely immersed in this plasma field, that our DNA is supposed to turn back on and we are supposed to light up, okay? Come back into what many are saying full consciousness. Is there in fact a correlation between all of this? And is it because we are genetic royalty, or is it because of the Ptah piece that's contained here? I don't know. I don't have that answer. I will, of course, try to get that answer. And what it does is it proves that consciousness is absolutely the key to creation of matter, and that emotion is the key to attracting that physicality. You know, just like what they say in the law of attraction. And clearly we know how to do this. I mean, we do it every day. You know, so many people here are creating not only their lives, but they're creating more of what they don't want because they focus on what they don't want, as opposed to focusing on what they do want. And then there's many people now who are creating the lives that they've always wanted because they're focusing more on what they want. So clearly, the law is proving itself out. What's interesting is that for those who are consciously aware that they're creating what they want, you now have a virtual universal library to tap into in dark matter. And this also would prove that everything is a holograph. Nothing's ever lost. Everything contains everything. It's just a matter of focusing on what it is that you want. And I just thought that was absolutely remarkable. The music piece, obviously music is an audible holographic. And, you know, this is not only relevant because of music and the power of music to create emotion, but it also has to do with our own voices, how we speak to others, our inflections. We clearly are creating holographs every time, audible holographs every time we open our mouths. And the way we say things to others, the way we speak, the way we sing in the shower, the way we pray to ourselves or to the Creator, or whatever label you give it. Okay? I mean, it's being discussed that music, especially classical music, is stored audibly and holographically in dark matter. The word dark, however, is simply not an appropriate expression for the storage of energy and knowledge. And this only brings us back to the place where, ladies and gentlemen, you have no idea how powerful you are. You really don't have any idea. And if we can truly grasp this knowing, then the reasons for the suppression, the reasons for the intervention in our everyday lives by regressive forces or energies or entities would make perfect sense, because there's no way they can do what we do. And this would make sense why they are not only trying to feed off of us, because this is not something they can generate themselves, but we're the ones who are creating the reality that they want. The issue is that we're not consciously aware of the fact that we are creating this prison for ourselves just for the benefit of a few regressive alien races. Okay? This concept needs to be grasped. It really, really does. And we somehow need to command, take back control and command of the reality that we want. We really, really do. Because as we get further on here in the notes, you're gonna know why. Okay. I touched on this last month, and I'm going to touch on it again because there's a lot of folks who haven't gotten this part. There is a lot of talk about off-world events, such as Planet X, Planet 9, Nibiru. I want you to know we are all talking about the same thing. Okay, Planet X, in a Roman numerical value, is 10. Okay? The Chaldeans, the Sumerians, the Babylonians, they all considered Pluto a ninth planet, which is why they referred to Nibiru as a tenth planet. It's also important to note that the Sumerians, as well as the Chaldeans, have a record of our entire solar system, accurately describing the planets and their locations from the outside coming in. Okay, so we will not be just discarding and throwing that away. Clearly they knew something. Planet 9 is really Planet 10. But you see, they laid off Pluto. You know, they laid it off. So now the 10th planet becomes the 9th planet. It's all semantics. And I think it's important that you know this, and you see through you know, the semantics and the fog, because they're very, very good, the powers that be, at muddling the water, creating confusion, and getting everyone to a point where they just don't understand, because when everybody gets confused or frustrated, what most people do is they just drop it. They're just like, screw it, I don't care anymore. And they move on to something else. Well, that's exactly what they want you to do. They want you to drop it. They don't want you to continue to investigate. They don't want you to self-educate yourselves. That's why they're dumbing everyone down in schools. Okay, and this is not conspiracy theory. This is fact. They even admit it. It's fact. Okay? So this is important to know. You can't just ignore the things that are going on, because we're the ones being asked to create this reality. We're the ones who do it. We're the foot soldiers. We are the creators of this. Okay? And no matter how much they step on us, no matter how much they say we're idiots, we're morons, that we're not capable of taking care of ourselves, we're not capable of ruling ourselves, of course, because of all the manipulation and deceit and lies, okay, ultimately, they have to come back to us to create reality, because we're the ones doing it. Okay? It's important to know that. It's important to know that you are the power. You absolutely are the power here. Not them. You are. Okay? So don't give it away. Now, a retired astrophysicist from the University of Louisiana, who is now teaching mathematics at the University of Arkansas, a Daniel Whitmire, has written a series of articles that were just published in the Royal Astronomical Society in the month of January, how he has been able to show, or to mathematically prove, that every time planet X comes through here, there are extinction-level events on Earth because of the comet tail that it drags along with it. And he has been able to, his initial report went back 27 million years. The new research has gone back 500 million years. And it clearly shows that there's issues every time this thing comes through. Okay? I wanted you to know that. Because there are a lot of people say, oh, don't go negative, don't go negative. Well, you know, there is more power in truth than there is in anything else. So, you know, now you know. There has been a great deal of dialogue going on throughout our solar system. Our solar system is, in fact, in a quarantine, except for those things that are supposed to occur, that are natural to occur, that are on a regular, that are on planetary trajectories, such as Nibiru coming through, etc. To my knowledge, it is still in a stable position as we continue to move out of its way, which I am incredibly grateful for. However, the Nibiru have notified the older of the star systems that are here that they have decided to begin to initiate protocols for contact with Earth. I don't know when, I don't know how, I don't know what those protocols are, but I must say that I was taken aback when I heard this, and I asked Morinet how he felt about it. And his only response was that they are acting independently on this. So, that's what I know regarding that. That they have said or notified the other benevolent groups that they are going to begin implementing protocols for contact. Now, this is something that they've done before with Earth, obviously. But what the ultimate agenda and goal is, I at the moment, I do not know. I know that the powers that be in other groups here, regressive in nature, are pretty upset. They're pretty upset by this. So initially, it looks like a good thing. I don't exactly know for sure. Okay? Now, I want to do a lot of questions today, so that's why we're kind of blowing through all this. There is information out there, and attacks against Mr. Zachariah Sitchin and his work. I think it's completely unfair to attack someone who's dead, who cannot defend himself. That doesn't mean that you don't question the research or that you prove or disprove it. But to come out and say that his intent was to do something to benefit the Illuminati or the powers that be when he is not here to defend himself is actually pretty Bush League. In fact, it's very Bush League. And I simply don't buy it. I believe that everyone is trying to do the very best that they can. And I always start out with that premise, that everyone is trying to do the very best that they can. Okay, how it turns out, hey, you know, wisdom comes from experience, and experience comes from poor decisions. That's just how it works. Okay? Now, there is also information that the Agarthians, those beings who live inside the Earth, are actually the Nibiru, and that they have come to the surface and have pretended to be the Nibiru, or have said that they were the Nibiru. I feel it necessary to set the record straight, because this is something I feel very strongly about. This is not something I often do, and that is question other people's information. But in this particular case, it absolutely needs to be questioned. The Agarthans, who have lived in the inner Earth, are more or less connected to the Pleiadians. They are not the Nibiru. So let me say that again. They are more or less connected to the Pleiadians. They are not the Nibiru. And one of the questions that should be asked when and if they show up, according to this other contactee, is why are they so damn friendly with the Nazis? Okay? The company you keep tells you a lot about who they are. So, as you can tell, there's a lot going on. And I, you know, and it's important to note this, that there are, there will be more contactees coming forward. They're being encouraged to, and as the power of the regressives is lessened, it'll become safer and safer for more information to be disseminated. But understand something. It is very difficult to do this work, simply because there's no way to fully integrate it yet with the reality we live and are creating currently. What has to happen is that the contactee has to take this information and he has to compartmentalize it and put it over here so that he can function here, put it over there so he can function here in reality. It is never easy. And sometimes it's very, very difficult because you want to spend more time over there dealing with that, okay, than here. And sometimes here suffers. It does. And I don't know how we all learn how to balance it. We all do things differently. Okay, and again, I believe everyone is doing the best they can. What's also interesting and important to note is that the information that the others are getting, they're getting from different races that have different historical backgrounds, that have generally a different racial makeup, who have different historical experiences, which have brought them to this time and this place in meeting those of us here on Earth, but they also have their own perspectives. And this is why it's so important to have great researchers, such as a Michael Sala, or a Jim Nichols, and others like him, Rick Keefe, and many others, who sift through all the information looking for comparables, okay? And they take that information and they try to weave some kind of a cohesive outline or map or story that flows, that makes sense to everyone. And I think it's important that you support those people in doing this because they're not emotionally attached to any of the information. And those of us who are contactees, we are attached to it. We have to be attached to it. You know, we are emotionally invested in the relationship, in the experience. There's no way we can just shut that off. That's pretty much not how we are built to do that. But these researchers that do this terrific work, it is so important that that they be supported, because ultimately they're probably going to be the ones who will best be able to tell the stories, okay, or put the story of the history of Earth together based on all the different perspectives. To sift through all the different perspectives and to find the actual events or as close to the actual events, because we all need to know, we all want to know. Ladies and gentlemen, it is really time that we start to think differently, because we have to create the world we want, the reality we want. It's imperative to do this, because the reality we're living now isn't ours. It's been hijacked, and it was hijacked a long time ago. It's interesting that every time humanity begins to make significant conscious leaps, there's always a world war. And this creates such trauma, such a psychological wound on humanity, that it sets us back sometimes hundreds of years, could be even longer. We just have to stop doing this, and we have to stop allowing ourselves to be manipulated into this kind of a position. We just have to say no. We have to continue to march on, watch each other's back, and create the reality that we really want. You know, and this isn't hard. We all want to be safe. We all want clean water. We all want clean air. We all want to be able to feed our families. And if we're going to use a monetary system, we all want to be well off so that we can afford to take care of our families, you know, and enjoy life. Okay, this is not hard. We can do this. Okay, all the pieces are already there. We just have to reclaim our power and focus that intent on all of humanity, not just a goddamn few. Okay, isn't it interesting that they say the total debt of planet Earth is about $500 trillion, and that the actual wealth of the owners of the central banks of Europe is $500 trillion. Isn't that interesting? What an interesting correlation or number. It's a coincidence, I'm sure. Okay? We just have to stop doing this. And I know I've said this before, but it's just crazy. It's just crazy that we continue to do this. And I am very encouraged that so many people are waking up. I am very encouraged that other countries are taking steps to minimize the reckless abuse and abandon of the powers that be. They've had a good run, but they blew it. They totally screwed it up. They've totally harmed and hurt not only the Earth, but humanity. They have set us back hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. And it's done, and it's over, and it needs to be over. However, we don't want to fall into the same trap of allowing any group, whether it be a religious group, a political group, tell the people, we're God, we're going to tell you how to live. No, we can't do this anymore, ladies and gentlemen. We need to step up, we need to rise to the occasion and do the things that we are absolutely capable of doing. We have done it before in many other places. I have absolutely no doubt that much of the information that's in dark matter is from some of us in our experiences in our lifetimes. There is no reason why we can't go get it back. We obviously can attach into that information, into those databanks. We obviously can do it. So I'm suggesting that we continue to try to do this and empower ourselves, empower humanity, and just make that leap that we're all talking about. Let's just do it, okay? I apologize for this being short, but I do want to do a lot of questions. I enjoy that immensely. So JP, if you're good to go with some questions, I'm good to go. Is there anybody there?
It takes me 1,000 clicks to get, when you say JP, I've got 1,000 clicks to get to. So try and, anyway, so look, I'd like to...
500 click head start next time.
Give me a 500 click start. Listen, Stuart Cardell did something amazing with something that you did. Have you heard this?
No.
Well, do you remember you gave a prayer out?
Oh, yeah, 100 years ago.
He set it to music.
Oh, okay.
Great Spirit, whose voice I hear in the winds, and whose breath gives life to all in the world. Hear me. I am small and I am weak, and I need your strength and your wisdom. Let me walk in beauty, and let my eyes ever behold the red and purple sunsets that you have created with me. Make my hands respect the things that you have made, and my ears sharp to hear your words and your voice. Let me learn the lessons that you have hidden under every rock and leaf. I seek strength, not to be greater than my brother, but to fight my greatest enemy, myself. Make me always ready to come to you with clean hands and straight eyes, so that when my life fades as the fading sunset, my spirit can come to you without shame.
Finding the question page, one of the things you were talking about is Nibiru having been having kind of stopped in its track.
Yes.
And one of the things that the conversation I have with my contact, my inner contact, is that there is something about treaties. It's something to do with the treaty making class of the galactic citizenry. That there's something about new treaties have been made, or that treaties that have recognized humanity as a certain kind of level that is worth saving, This is because that's why it's good news, is because they regard it as important enough to not just trample over the ant's nest. Am I making sense to you?
You are. I don't know any real hard specifics because things are still ongoing. But as far as humanity's been found worthy of saving, it goes much deeper than that. We're unique. We are extremely unique. Not better, I just said unique. And many, many, many star nations want to see what we are capable of when we're not being manipulated. So essentially what that means is we are going to get some independence here. And then it will literally be up to us to walk the talk.
So this is all the if-onlys are now coming to roost. That's a fantastic piece of news. Thank you very much, Alex.
You're welcome.
Now, from Nicholas Fowler, Alex, when we go through the dimensional shift to fourth, then fifth, what will happen to the astral plane? Will it disappear or be absorbed into the new dimension? What are the dynamics involved? Or is the astral plane actually the fourth dimension?
Great question.
Indeed.
And
where's all that globby stuff going?
I don't have an answer. I honestly don't have an answer. About the specifically the astral plane. I really don't know. That's a great question. I will write that down, and I will ask specifically. I know that in the old days there was some information regarding that, but I don't recall that it was that specific. So, Nicholas, I will ask.
Okay. And as I said, that black gooey stuff, I just saw the thing about the black globby stuff falling on Michigan. So good old Michigan. But I think that's probably an outpouring from the volcanic stuff. And
it could be. Michigan's catching a lot of crap these days.
There is. And what any news on Old Faithful? Have you seen it?
No.
Old Faithful is like a kettle boiling.
I'm aware of that, and I know there's a great deal of concern about Yellowstone blowing. I've been assured several times that it would not blow, that essentially the pressure would be relieved with the West Coast moving. Now, what's important to note, ladies and gentlemen, is that deep in the earth, under what we know as Calexico, is a supervolcano. That supervolcano deep inside the earth is what's feeding Yellowstone. Okay? And there are lava tunnels. I know there's another name for it, but I can't think of it at the moment. That run all up underneath the United States. Many of them run up the West Coast and then come across underneath Utah into Wyoming. They run, interestingly enough, right along the San Andreas. So, but again, I've been assured that it wouldn't go. But at some point, the West Coast will move. It will definitely move. So I'm amazed it hasn't happened already. And I'm grateful that it hasn't happened already as well. But that's all I know. So,
okay, thank you. So first, now, this is from the Earth. Dennis says, if one would use a video camera on the Amadon's mothership, would it record all the stuff that the A's see? That's a very interesting question. Or would it see only the stuff that... I think he's referring... You remember you described that you couldn't see everything on the ship because it didn't fit into your consciousness. But he's saying, yeah, if you took a video, would you be able to look at the video later and see what you were seeing? I think that's what he's trying to ask.
Our electronics don't work there.
Oh.
Our electronics don't work there. Right. It's a great idea, though. It's a great idea. You know, it just might. It just might because its sole purpose is to record what it sees without opinion or any emotion whatsoever. The question is, would the lens be able to focus in fifth density? Could it even focus on anything in that dimension? Because the light and the frequency is so different than what we experience here now. So that's an interesting perspective, an interesting question. God, again, I don't know. I don't know.
Well, certainly the idea that our stuff doesn't work out there, or rather within the confines of their plasma containment fields.
Our electronics are based on a north and south polarity. All of our electronics is, or at least 99% of it. In space, you don't have that. You don't have the polarity. So it doesn't know what to do, and it doesn't work. That's pretty much why.
Wow. No polarity in space. Is this the whole duality? Oh, well, let's not. We'll talk about. Can we talk about this on another show? This is an interesting thing. Anyway, Ray, please. And this is big letters, so he's very excited. Please. Last time he mentioned we were trapped when talking about us answering the call to be here. He was cut off without elaborating on we were tricked. Please explain. Love you, Alex and JP. You are the greatest gift to us. Thank you, Ray.
JP is the greatest gift to us. He really is.
James is the greatest gift to Alex.
He's awesome. Spectacular. Gosh, you know, I don't remember what I was talking about then. I mean, that feels like 100 years ago.
Yeah. It was about, hang on. We were trapped. that we were tricked into coming here, or...
Oh, I was making light. I don't believe that anyone was actually tricked. Sometimes what I do with friends and other contactees that I do talk to, and we do share information or perspectives, is that I joke that we were all at a party and they gave us Romulan ale, and they threw this contract at us and said, look, it's going to be a walk in the park, you know, just sign here, you know, and you're good to go. And you know, I sometimes make light of it that way. Because that's what I do when things get really heavy or stressful. I try to make light of it, so that I can deal and release the stress using humor. So it's not always good humor, but I do strive to do that, and so do some of the others. Because we all feel like we carry a burden to get this right. And, you know, most of the time we're completely in over our heads and we know it. So I don't know specifically what I was talking about at that moment. So there you go.
We'll see. I'm sure it'll come back. So back to not Earth, because Earth is a conceptual thing. Hi, Alex. What is your take? This is from Sonara, which is a lovely name. Sonara. Hi, Alex. What is your take on the urgent financial system with China and the U.S.? And there's a sort of another question from Lauren, and let's lump them together. In the global currency reset, do you think it would be smarter to invest in foreign currency or precious metals, or just stop trying to trade on minerals and be nice to people? Okay. Anyway, sorry, that's my opinion.
I understand the question. I am not a financial consultant. I am not a stockbroker. I'm not a bond dealer. I am an average citizen who tries to stay on top of this as well, so that I can, hold on to the few pennies that I have. The changing of the world's financial system to an asset-based system, I believe to be a very good one. The separation of China from the U.S. dollar and the other BRIC nations, which will soon total over 100, if it isn't already there, is basically to isolate the United States because of its abuse of power. And I don't say this lightly. I mean, I love my country. I love virtually everything about it. I think we're incredibly unique, and, we... did some amazing things. But it's clear that corruption is institutional here. And it has been ever since the private Federal Reserve took over. You know, the chickens always come home to roost. There's just no doubt about it. And the chickens are going to come home to roost here. Unfortunately, our government isn't going to own it. They're not going to take responsibility for it. The banks aren't going to own it and take responsibility for it. They're going to dump the whole truckload of shit on us. And this is why I say it's important that we take back our power and we just don't put up with this crap anymore. Okay? Because this is what always happens. You know, we blame each other. We look at each other. We're like, oh, we're terrible. We're not good. When, in fact, they have to come back to us to create whatever new system they have to put into place because we are the creators. It is not them. It's we are. We're the force that makes it all happen. So it's just same old, same old. It's just that, you know, it's our time to see this whole thing come apart. I would think that cooler heads, sensible heads, those who have even a minuscule of common sense would realize that in order to be in the world, you have to get along with the world. And that they would figure out a way to come to terms with this, and but we still have to deal with the corruption in our government and our banking system. I mean, that's just a no-brainer. That still has to be dealt with, and I don't know how that's all going to play itself out. If I were investing, I would invest in commodities, things that people need every single day. Water, water purification. Gold, food, groceries, energy. Those are things everybody needs every day. That's what I would do. But that's just my opinion.
You know, I think it's a very important thing to do. To what's the word? Inventory your life. And how much fuel does it take to run your life? You know, and then, well, how if the stocks were to be taken away, how long would I last with what I've got? You know, how much energy does it take to sustain my being?
That's a great point, and this comes back to if you put your life on paper, and you see what it is, what you have, what you are, you can then decide clearly, is this the life I want, or do I want to create more abundance? Because without doing that, most people, they don't want to know, or they're so busy being in survival, they don't even want to, they really don't want to know because they're always in survival. Well, you know, you can change survival. You just have to want something better, and then you have to focus your intent on that something better, and then know that you're going to get it. You know, you're the creators, folks. You do this. You create you. No one else is doing it. Only you do. Don't let anybody have that power over you, ever, ever, ever. Okay? Know that you know that you know that you are the creator of your own happiness, not anybody else. It's no one else's responsibility. It is yours. That's what it is.
I don't know if it's me. I love you so much, Alex. Or it's just like coming through, like the chat room is like, oh. It's like, so anyway, much, much love coming back from you. This is really Michael from Melbourne. Who are the original custodians of this planet? And what is it that has the Vatican so worried? Best wishes, Michael.
The original custodians of planet Earth, I have been told, were Patal. Ah. They were Patal. And I have not gotten any further with that questioning or the history or anything other than that.
But let's see.
Let's see if you guys can figure it out just like I'm trying to.
How many Patal were there, do you know?
I don't know.
I mean, like hundreds, thousands, dozens, millions?
it could be trillions. I mean, you have 11, now 12 densities. You have multiple universes, multiple dimensions within each of those. The number is probably something beyond we could count.
No wonder they lost them. Right, okay. So, from Farazane. Dear Alex, are we still on the same timeline where Planet X or Nibiru crashed into the Earth, or we moved to a new timeline? Or did we move to a new timeline? All my love and gratitude to you all.
Okay, well, the planet Nibiru never actually crashed into Earth. They were talking about changing its orbital path. They were looking at certain things a while back, and one of those changes would have caused it to eventually crash into Earth. That obviously didn't happen, or they didn't change its trajectory. So, you know, they're coming up with other solutions that are ongoing as we speak. But we are on a very good timeline. We have some very interesting, some would say rough patches, just ahead of us, but we get through them. You know, most of us get through them. The majority of us get through them. But there has to be some house cleaning. And you know, they're bringing in the Roto-Rooter man to clean the septic systems, because that just has to happen, because the sewers will not clean themselves. Okay, so they're bringing in Roto-Rooter to come in and clean out the crap that's here, that's been here, that was never supposed to be here, that has embedded itself illegally. And so those are part of the rough patches that we're all going to have to go through. And that just has to happen. But we will be nonetheless much wiser on the back end of all this experience. And humanity will be in a psychological place after seeing all that has transpired and is going to transpire. They will be in a psychological space of more maturity, being more responsible, and able to grasp the big picture. And that's only a good thing. It's only a good thing. So, try not to buy into all the drama. Be the observer. Okay? See it for what it is. Because that's all they have left, is to try to hook people into the drama to create more fear. That's all they have left in their arsenal. They really do. Okay, so
I've been looking at the games that they play. They've only got a couple of games, you know, the divide and rule game and the distract game. There's only like a couple of them. And it's good to step back and say, okay, what game are they playing today? Is this a divide or is this a distract?
You know? Yeah, that's pretty much it. Well,
a lot of others.
They're losing a lot of teammates. You know, a lot of people are walking away, or they have taken a position where, you know, we're not doing this anymore. Some are being killed off because they won't, because they're being so defiant. And this is a good thing. There are, most are siding with humanity, and that's exactly where their loyalties need to be, is with humanity. So there are still some moheads and jackals, though. There are. There's still some jackals, and they will have to be dealt with. You know, they will have to be dealt with.
Right. Thank you very much, Alex. Now, I've just hit a situation. Firefox has just crashed, and I don't want to restart it or stop it because you're running under Firefox. So in order to grab the questions, I'm going to have to look at them from another laptop or something. All right, I return quickly because... All right, so...
Okay, well, I read a question earlier. where okay, somebody said,
if you can answer that while I'm away, okay?
Okay,
I'll be back in a second. Thank you.
Okay, there was a question that somebody had written. I apologize for not catching your name. It was a while back, where you asked, "Can aliens contact human dreams?" Absolutely. Understand something. When you dream in color, you are not in your body. You are traveling. Your dreaming body is out there traveling, and you can be contacted in that way. And in fact, many people begin that way. And it's a gradual process where they will show up, you will meet, you will become familiar, they will share information, things about yourself, you know, that are either prophetic or of beneficial knowledge to you, self-knowledge. And then as you get more and more comfortable, then at some point maybe they will make it a physical thing. This has happened to many people on Earth already. You're just not hearing a lot about it because many of these people are, they see what the rest of us go through and they're like, no way am I doing this. So, they'll come around. They will come around. They will come into their power, and they will step forward, and they will begin to share, even in the smallest ways, what it is that they feel is beneficial based on their experience, and it's a good thing. It's only a good thing. So, let's see what else we got here.
You can see them there. That's great, Alex. Because I got blank pages. I think it's going to reset itself. Oh, look, there you can see me.
Okay, there's one here. Who dictates the law of non-interference? Boy, they're going so fast. I can already catch up. The from my understanding is that the rules regarding non-interference or non-intervention, that these were generalized rules. That everyone agreed to obey. And the more mature and evolved the society, the stronger the commitment to those rules. Now, there are some races that have agreed, and then for personal reasons, many times it's out of a personal desire or greed, they violate those rules. But they're called to task for it eventually. It's just that it's a very big galaxy. And sometimes it takes a while for them to get caught up to. Anyway.
Okay, I'm back. You can hear me now?
I can, yes. Good.
Right, so, meanwhile, from Catherine. Dear Alex, I know that we are infinite souls instead of biological machines.
Well, we're that too.
Yeah, as well as biological. Oh, sorry, not instead of, inside of, right. Regarding ascension into fifth density, do you know what will happen to those not ready to ascend?
I do not. I do not know. I've asked, and he changed the subject. So I don't know if he doesn't know, more than I am referring to, or if he just didn't want to say. I simply don't. I personally do not know how to answer that question because I don't have any more information. I would think everyone would be given an opportunity to continue to evolve. I just don't know what that looks like. I don't know if they're going to push the reset button and everybody's going to start over. I don't know. You know, those who can't move into that higher frequency. I don't know if they're going to have to start over, or if they're going to be given extra assistance to help them move up to catch up quicker. You know, I would like to see that as opposed to have somebody start all over. But I just don't know.
You know, okay. You said something about the Andromedans have a camera that can reset a. Sorry, I should look at the camera. That can reset a person in terms of their health. Well, I kind of imagine that they would also have one that would do that on a planetary scale. Would that be right?
I would think that that's very possible, yes. I don't know for a fact about a planetary camera, holographic camera. It makes sense that they would have one. I've not heard that they were going to use one. But, you know, they wouldn't tell me everything because they know me, and they know that I would share it. Because they know that I know that everyone deserves to know. You know, we're all in this together, and we all have a vested interest in the outcome that occurs here. So they don't always tell me everything because they don't want to, they would not want me to tip their hand too early, if that makes sense.
Thank you. Mason says, greetings, Alex. Years ago, I defended myself against reptilians who appeared at the foot of my bed. They appeared to be under a cloaking device. Has this ever happened to you? Yes. Much love, Mason.
Yes, it did. Yes, it did. Shortly after my first son was born, and we had intervention. We had intervention. And those particular reptilians are no longer even on Earth. So, Well done. Mason, well done.
Yeah, I think there's maybe Mason can start coming forward and talk about his experiences. I mean, there's a lot of people who are asking questions that are really, they have a lot of knowledge behind their question.
And, this is great.
Perhaps these are the people you're looking for. Perhaps they should, you form a group and get them out there.
This is great.
So, from Rene. Who stopped Nibiru? Well, I think you said before who that was. That right?
I don't know if it was a mutual agreement or if someone put a dump truck in front of them or if there was a warning. I would tend to think that with all the activity here that it was a mutual agreement to stop. That makes the most logical sense. Because there's no fighting going on around that. The only real activity that's occurring is around Earth and a very specific area regarding the asteroid belt. Ceres, the very large asteroid, CERES. There's a lot of activity around there because that's where the regressives were making all the weapons, the alien weapons that they were giving to the marauders and the pirates, et cetera, et cetera. It's unfortunate, but there are several hundred thousand human beings there inside that particular asteroid who are slaves to making the weapons. It's a very, very, very dark field of energy there. Very dark, and they're quarantined as well. And I don't know if they're going to be able to rescue everybody that's there. I simply don't know. It doesn't look good, to be perfectly honest with you. Because when rats get cornered, they do terrible things. So.
Rats in a sack. So, hi Alex from Harley. Do other human races in the universe have 100% human souls, or are they like us, made up of many different, made up of different races?
Okay, that's two different questions. Our physicality is made up of different genetics. The soul is the soul. Yes, it can interact with different genetic material and bodies, but the soul is light. It's consciousness. And the only difference between souls is the level of light they contain and the frequency at which they vibrate. Okay, there is not a genetic aspect to a soul that I'm aware of whatsoever. It's pure energy. So that question needs to be reworded. Not to be picky, I'm not trying to be the school teacher.
I think it's a really important point of perspective to understand that a soul is not owned by the body.
No, not at all. It was long before physicality. The soul existed long before physicality. Know that. Okay, you got another one?
Yep, from Russell. Can you explain the historical dynamic between the Draconius reptilians and the Anunnaki?
Probably not efficiently or with any real great depth. I do know that there has been a great deal of interaction between the races over the vastness of time. I know that there have been some intermarriages, and those were always arranged for political reasons and purposes, like treaties. But I also know that they have not always saw eye to eye on things. And the problem with dealing with regressives is that one always wants to be the alpha. And when you have other groups who simply don't agree to make you the alpha, there's conflict. And there has been, I guess for the last, in Earth years, 800,000, 900,000 years, a great deal of conflict between the Anunnaki and the Sikar. Because the Anunnaki are very independent. They are very much a warrior class as well. They have a very benevolent side to them when they exercise it. But the royals of the Sikar, they always want to be the alpha, you know. And they always want the others to do the alpha's bidding. And that doesn't always happen. So that pretty much sums up the entire relationship. I can't give you any more specifics other than that. But we'll just have to see. You know, ladies and gentlemen, one day we will all know. I hope it's soon. I certainly hope it's in my lifetime. But one of these days we're all going to know. It's going to be laid out for us. You know, our ancestry, who we are, where we come from, what our true history is, what our true potential could be, that's all going to be laid out before us. Because the benevolents realize that you need this information, you need self-knowledge in order to grow and make decisions to evolve in a specific direction. They all know this. Where the regressives, they don't want to tell you anything because they want to control and manipulate you into creating what they want. So, the regressives no longer have the strong foothold on Earth anymore. But there is some stuff to be played out. There is. So, but at some point we'll all know. You know, it'll be an aha moment. I've mentioned this before in other talks. It'll be an aha moment for all of us. And it's coming. It's coming. I wish I could give you a date. But I don't know it. I don't know it.
Well, I think everybody will be ready by the time it happens. So, shall we say Sam? I'm getting that all the questions are coming in at random places now. So anyway, it's the luck of the draw. And this is Andromedans and Arcturians from Sam. Does Alex know if there are any similarities between the Andromedans and the Arcturians in their belief systems?
I don't know anything about the Arcturians, really. I really don't. I'm not qualified to say that. If there's a contactee out there who was talking to the Arcturians, now would be the time to come forward and share what you know. I don't have that perspective. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you don't hear him and many people talking about like Ursa Major either. You know, the plow, the great big huge constellation in our sky. And that nobody seems to come from there.
Nobody wants to own it. Nobody wants to own it. And I get that. I wouldn't either. You know, oh my God, they have caused so much trouble.
All come from the plow. Come to plow up your life, yeah. All right. Johan, my friend asked the following. What is the Andromedan perspective on the cruelty towards and enslavement of animals on planet Earth? And can't they help in some way?
It would be the same as humans. Exactly. The enslavement and torture of humans, it would be the same. It would be exactly the same. You know, I just don't go there. I just don't go there. You know, because my plate's full just trying to do what I'm doing. But it's the same. It is exactly the same. Love the one you're with.
Yep, absolutely. Yep. You know, it's just, it's often we just don't see what we're seeing when we're sitting there. You're talking about looking at things on you see something and it's a shape and it's a color, but it doesn't register the same as like, oh, that's a kettle, you know.
No, it isn't, because we have become so detached from nature that we don't, I mean, we see our families and we have an emotional response to our families. Most of it's positive. There's always that uncle or aunt, right? But when we're dealing with nature, we've been so cut off, excuse me, by technology and our focus on survival that we forget to feel the relationship with nature. You know, we, and this is why I've stressed over and over to people, you know, get into nature, get out into nature. Feel the relationship. It's, you know, to quote the Jedi, it is a symbiotic relationship. You know, nature could exist without us, but we could not exist without nature. Therefore, we owe it a gratitude. We absolutely owe nature gratitude. And by allowing yourself to emotionally engage with nature, you know, you're basically showing your gratitude. That doesn't mean you go walk up to a buffalo and pet it. That's not what I mean. But just the acknowledgement of your surroundings and knowing where you are in that moment and acknowledging that moment in nature. It's very, very good, and you will find that your soul will recharge rather quickly when you do that. It's really wonderful.
Thank you.
You bet. Lovely.
Clan Mother Karen Ann Lucy K. McDonald. Are you... No. What about the Blue Avians or the Sphere Alliance and their... messages about soul trances and reincarnation. I think you might have something to say about this.
I don't know a lot about Mr. Good's relationship with them. I don't make it a point to study other people's information. I just don't. Not that I even actually have the internet time to do that, which I don't. But some things have reached me which I absolutely emphatically don't agree with. The Inner Earth people is one of those. There was another piece, which I think I've spoken about earlier, about those blue spheres were going to hold our reality in place for 100 years because they didn't believe humanity was ready for contact. That's bullshit. Just tell you that straight up, that's bullshit. That isn't happening. That's just not happening. But other than that, I don't have a lot to say about his information or theirs. So, and as you can tell, I feel strongly about those two pieces of information. So that's why I brought it forward.
Thank you. I think it's really important because, you know, to me, that's like that's like another level of Illuminati on a sort of solar scale or something, you know,
beyond the planet. Keeping everything in place for another 100 years, how does that benefit us?
Yeah, status quo. It benefits the status quo. You know, just kick the can down the road, as Paul would say.
Exactly. You know, it's like Congress. Oh, my God. No, thanks.
That's right. The opposite of progress. Okay. Here we are. This is from Anna Balboa. Now, Anna always asks really good questions. We have the knowledge, but which are the things that we can do in order to tune with that knowledge that you call dark matter? Dark matter. How can we access to it? Through meditation, through food, through sun, through dreams, through everything? Which are the things we can do in order to get the highest as ourselves to remember?
Yeah. Miss Balboa?
Remember ourselves. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
Miss Balboa, when I have that answer, I will let you know. At the moment, I don't have that answer, but I want to know. I really do want to know. I want to tap into that myself. So let's all work on it, and whoever figures it out first, let us know. If it's me, I'll let you know. If you find out, please let me know. You know, I don't need to be the first here. I don't care about that. But at the moment, I don't know. But I do want to know. I do want to know. So maybe it's all of the above. I wish I knew. I mean, musicians, maybe we should be talking to musicians because they're clearly pulling it down. They are clearly pulling this information down. So maybe we should be talking to them.
Well.
And maybe they're the ones who figured it out. Maybe it's all vibration. You know?
It is. Yeah, that's true.
All vibration. So, okay.
This is from Jean M, or maybe Jean, I don't know. How soon can we expect to not be harassed by the IRS or our state governments for their share of our hard-earned money?
I really don't know. I really don't know.
Okay. She's good. Well, that's good. It's everything. Good to know what you don't know, not know what you know. You know,
I don't know everything. You know, I want to, but I don't.
All right, here's another one. This is from Catherine. JP, thank you for your dedicated service. You're welcome. Are we going to have another round table with Alex and Simon et al? Did you enjoy yourself?
Was that question to me or to you, JP?
Well, it's to you, of course.
Oh, yes,
I'm here all the time.
I enjoyed it immensely. I thought it was a lot of fun. I would think that the next several would have a lot more fireworks as we get used to each other. You know, the first one was very polite and civil, as I would expect the others to be. But, you know, we were all feeling each other out, you know, and those things take time. So we'll just have to see. I mean, I would enjoy doing it again, you bet.
Excellent. Well, I'll arrange one soon enough. Yeah. So this is quite an interesting question. This is from Hariyan Nityadasa. So, don't you feel group contactees rather than singular contactees would end the load placed on one contactee would really place humanity in a place of validation and acceptance if the positives really want us to acknowledge our star relation and higher potential? Denial would be really diminished. More. So I think, should contactees group together and then talk about things? Because, you know, it does seem to give validation just for one person to validate what you're saying, isn't it? Doesn't it?
There have been conversations regarding doing something just like that. Listen, I wanted to add, I think at some point that would be something that would be very, very beneficial if we could create a space that everybody's felt safe in. You know, I don't know if the timing's right for that just yet, because there's still a lot of negativity against humanity in that way. Listen, there was somebody here on this side that said something about, her name is Tiffany. She said something about the Corey Good 100-year blue sphere thing was completely misrepresented. I'm open to hear about that. So I just wanted to acknowledge that. If it was misrepresented, please let me know. But that's how it came to me, was that that's exactly what they had said. So if it's wrong, I'll own it. Okay? So thank you, Tiffany. Okay, next question.
Okay, this is a good one. Is the pole now rotating wider, axis tilt more in the north, now less ice in the north and more in the south? Is this because of the galactic plane? What side of the plane are we on? What side of the plane?
Well, if you remember the information going back, the A said that we would eventually have a 23-degree pole shift. And that North America would end up, and Europe would end up on the equator. So we'll just have to see. We'll just have to see how that develops. You know, I don't know. I don't know. I hope not. I mean, if it's something that absolutely has to happen, you know, I would want us all to have assistance so that everyone can move away from the coastlines into safe areas and we could sustain ourselves while this occurred. And then as the waters receded and the land began to dry out, you know, we could begin the migration back to the shores. Why is it so difficult for humanity to even, for governments to even think this way? You know, and clearly we can think this way. So I don't know how it's going to play itself out. At the moment, I just don't know. There is an awful lot going on.
As you say, and Nancy is asking, is it true that a lot of the negative ET, i.e. reptilians, have left our planet? Or have been, let's say, escorted, frog-marched?
Virtually most of them, yes. Yeah, I think there's a few hard cases that are still in the Earth. And I've said that all along, that there was this small group of real down and dirty rascals. But the majority of them have left when they were given the chance to.
They've had their warning. Elton asks, hey, Alex, could you explain in detail what an holographic society is and how we can use the power of intent to bring this forward into our reality?
I do not have that experience or actually the knowledge. That would be something that would have to occur during a mentorship from races that live holographically. You know, my brief experience in a holographic scenario is not complete at all, because I was not able to see many things that were there simply because my mind simply could not conceive those things. So my knowledge, which is very little, is grossly incomplete to even attempt to answer that. But holographic civilizations are totally empowered. They know who they are. They know what they are. And they always know what they're creating, which means that they're consciously aware of everything they're creating because they see it pretty quickly. And they can change it if it's not what they want. They can adjust to what it is that they do want. It's very, very powerful. And I look forward to our humanity getting to that place. I do. I don't believe it will be in our lifetimes. It may be a generation or two away. But, you know, we can certainly do what we can do to take those steps and to try to, you know, make it happen for them. So that's my answer.
Okay. Now, here's one. And Elaine Keaton. Are the A's saying they will protect Earth from Planet X because we are a petri dish of genetics that they and others need to preserve for future extraction? Interesting perspective.
Yeah, it is. I don't have anything to add to that at the moment. I'm trying not to read the questions as you're answering, asking other ones, because I'm not multitasking very well today.
Right. Okay. What's your perspective on the Panama Papers? The latest of the biggest like, you know. Anyway, what's your perspective? I'm not going to say mine.
My perspective. Well, I found it interesting that most of the Americans were never mentioned, or those who are loyal and allegiant to the CIA. Only those who are against the New World Order were mentioned.
Funny that, isn't it? That's pretty funny.
Yeah, you think that's my perspective.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Just a coincidence, I'm sure.
That's right. Just move along. Andres, can aliens contact a person through dreams? I had a dream where I encountered a tall, dark, black, brown figure. When I went to talk to him in my dream, he wouldn't let me touch him, and we communicated telepathically. Is this a safe entity? It didn't frighten me, but he tried to warn me about something.
Well, you have to trust your own perspective on that. If you didn't feel fear, that's a good thing. If he was trying to warn you about something, do you remember how you got to the place where you were? Was your dreaming body traveling? Were you somewhere traveling that you shouldn't be? Are you consciously aware of where you go in dreams? And when you know that you're in the dream, are you directing yourself to specific places? It could be he was just telling you to be careful because there is some garbage out there. You might, if you have not, you might want to read some of the Castaneda books regarding the Toltec practice of dreaming bodies and traveling in dreams. That should give you some background. There's a lot of really good information there. You shouldn't do this. If that's what you're doing, you shouldn't be doing it by yourself. Okay, and I think it was commendable that the being was trying to tell you something and not have you touch it, he or she. It could be that the being was also an extension of you somehow. You don't know. But that's why you need to know. Okay, so you have some work to do on that. Good luck with that. Sincerely, good luck with that. It's fascinating. Okay.
Now, here's a really kind of gritty question. This is from Ran W, I think. Ran? If we as Terrans wanted to create a non-terrestrial organization in the astral plane as a domain for encouraging new and alternative courses of thought for, of, and by Terrans, is this viable? More importantly, would you support its inception? I imagine that's what we're doing here. Starting with the webinars and building up with it.
Yeah, I would support something like that if we could all, you know, get along and talk about stuff here without going to war. There's no way that they're going to allow us to project our current behavior out there. We have to make adjustments. But I would think that after we get through these rough patches and humanity comes together And there's been a more harmonizing embodiment of fourth and fifth density here. And we have stepped as a race into our power as a race, as a collective family. I would think that those kind of doors would then be open to us. They're not open now. Because we're dealing with, you know, maybe 12% of information regarding who we are. It's simply impossible to put something like that together when we ourselves don't have all the pieces of who we are. You know, it's like religion. We'd be like a religion. You know, do as I say, not as we do. You know, it has to be real. It has to be genuine in order to put it out there. And the benevolents know that. You know, they absolutely know that. So, they are dedicated to helping us get there, though. Okay? You got another one, JP?
Oh, yeah. Thousands. Lauren asks, does the Nibiru have to ask certain galactic councils for permission to make contact with Earth? And if so, would these councils take into consideration Nibiru's past interaction with Earth civilizations? If they were granted permission and began manipulation, do you think the benevolence would intervene again?
Okay.
So well, the answer to that
is yes, which is why Morinay said that they were acting independently. Okay. They're doing this on their own without the blessing, but however, they did acknowledge the other groups by letting them know ahead of time. You know, the biggest question with the Anunnaki is it all depends on which side of the family we have to deal with. You know, there was the Enki side of the family, where for the most part they treated humanity very well or fairly well. You know, there was a great deal of education, of healing knowledge, of horticulture, agriculture. They taught us a lot of really beneficial and things that we still use and practice today. But on the other side of the family, where you have Enlil and that group, they were not positive to deal with or easy to deal with. So, you know, in the last 5,000-6,000 years, you know, I don't know the political makeup of the Anunnaki at this point. I don't know who we're dealing with. And M hasn't offered that information yet. So, I would think with everyone that's here, with everything that's going on, I would think that they would want to make this a positive experience and put their best foot forward in front of the entire galaxy. I can't imagine they would go to all these lengths to turn out to be assholes. I don't want to go there. Okay, so, but you know, they have some things to fix. They do. And maybe this is their way of taking responsibility for it. I guess we'll find out. You know, I don't know when or how it's all going to happen. But, you know, maybe that's what they're going to do. You know, they're going to make amends. So, and this is right now a pretty big stage for them to do that, you know. So, it would only shine more positive on them as a race. Okay, JP. JP, I got 5 more minutes.
5 more minutes. So this is Marlin. It is hard enough that we eat flesh and plants. What were we supposed to eat originally? Great question.
Well, our teeth are not that of carnivores. I believe for the most part we were vegetarian. We did eat fish and maybe some fowl. God, you know, that's just an area I don't even like to get into, but it has been said that the practice of eating beef came about to stop cannibalism. So, next question.
That is a very interesting.
Yeah, I don't want to go there.
Really?
I don't want to go there.
Excellent. All right. Well, maybe for another day. It's a very good question. Dear Alex, this is from Gene. Dear Alex, you have said the field we are traveling through is causing polarization as well as emotional cleansing. I have noticed that people are expressing extreme views and high emotionality. Can you speak more on this and where it is leading? Is there an additional influence of brainwashing?
Well, this is probably a great question to end on. Yes to all of your observations. I think what's basically happening, and this is truly just my opinion, Gene, or whoever asked the question, I think a lot of people are out of balance. I think they're under a great deal of stress. I also think that a lot of people, because of the higher frequency, are beginning to feel more emotion, deeper emotion than they've ever felt before. And they don't know how to express it. They don't know how to channel it. And they don't know how to calm themselves down, such as through meditation or walks in nature, etc. Because if you're going through all these emotions and your body is changing and you are subjecting yourself to constant bombardment of television, radio information, cellular information, information overload, the mind doesn't know how to quiet itself. And if the mind can't be quiet, neither can the body. And I think that's what's happening with a lot of people. They're just in overload. And when they explode with emotion, it's a release. It's a way of releasing it. And even though it may not be appropriate to do it the way they're doing it, it is in fact a release. What's more constructive is for them to try to use the energy to calm themselves down and use that energy to project their intent into creating what it is that they want. But that comes with self-knowledge. That comes with experience. It comes with maturity to know these things. And, you know, people are all over the place today. They really are. But I can tell you that, and Visayas said this to me many, 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 many years ago, all the broken pieces always find their way home. So, I don't know if that's a consolation or not, but, you know, that's important to know, that all the broken pieces will find their way home eventually. All we can do is work on ourselves. And by example, show others. You know, that's all we can do. Ladies and gentlemen, I love you. Thank you so much for being a part of this and supporting the webinars. You know, without you, it would be very, very hard, difficult to make it. And I'm so grateful to all of you. You know, God bless you. Thank you. JP, thank you for everything you do. James, thank you for everything you do. Guys, you're the best. You absolutely are the best. Good night.
Alex, thank you very much. With your permission, I'd like to play out with the prayer. You can leave the call, but I'll just finish the thing. And everybody can just take a breath. and just let this sink in. It's beautifully done. So Stuart Cardell, thank you very much. And Alex Collier, thank you very much. Good night.
Thank you, Stuart. I will listen to it as soon as I can. Thank you. All right, guys, I got to get out of the room.
Bye. Great spirit, whose voice I hear in the winds, and whose breath gives life to all in the world. Hear me. I am small and I am weak, and I need your strength.